Minister, you don't need me to tell you about the difficulties that exist in our acute hospitals, the very significant delays that people are having in terms of getting access to bed capacity. Much of the elective work is now delayed because of the crisis in A&E. And some of that, not all of it, but some of it relates to the inability of patients to move from the care facility, i.e. the acute hospital, into either a step-down facility or back home. So there's a passage through for many. And I have identified what I believe is one of the very considerable difficulties that exists. And it's the issue or the inability of the HSE or many of the other service providers to be able to hire home care assistants. And as you know, Minister, in your work in the constituency, you will have seen over the years that people will have come to you. They're looking for more hours to be made available by the state. So in other words, for the state to put money aside so that people can get care in the home, to allow them to live out their lives there. That used to be a problem. But Minister, that's not the problem anymore. The real problem now exists. Money's in place, but they can't get staff to fill those hours. There are many, many more people who could be living out the latter days of their lives in their own home if there were care assistance available to them. Now, I have met with many care assistants, and I do so on a very regular basis. And some of them are now leaving the service. And the only reason they're leaving the service, Minister, is they're not being properly looked after financially. The wages are poor, but many of them are prepared to do it because it's flexible work. But what's killing them in the current climate is the cost of travel. As you know, in rural areas, Minister, the profile of your constituency isn't that much different to mine. There might be somebody 10, 15 miles away from where the carer lives. They go and visit them at 8 o'clock in the morning. By 11, they have to be somewhere else. By 2 o'clock, somewhere else. 5 o'clock, somewhere else. And 9 o'clock that night back to where they started. They can do over 100 miles in a day, sometimes up to 200 miles in a day, depending on the profile of the people they're looking after. It is not sustainable for those people to be asked to continue to do that work with the rate that they're being paid for mileage. It's abysmal. It was just about getting them by when diesel and petrol was somewhere between a euro and a euro 12 or a euro 13 a cent. It's now 2.13. And these are people on very low incomes in the first instance. They provide a phenomenally valuable service. Without them, many more people would be in the care of the state, putting a further burden and pressure on the acute services, further lengthening the wait time in places like UHL. And we saw that HICWA report, that appalling display of service available to patients. If we don't intervene at the home care assistant level, the problem is going to get worse. Because as the price of fuel continues to spiral out of control, and we accept that's outside our control, these people will not be able to keep their cars on the road, keep travelling and doing the great work that they're doing. So I'm appealing to you, Minister, to look at every element or every line item in the budget of your department and try to find an appropriate amount of money to make it possible for these people to do their work. Their low wages can be dealt with through the normal labour relation mechanism. And I have argued about this before, and I will again. But I think there needs to be an urgent intervention here, Minister, that puts in place a few extra cent to make it possible for these people to do this phenomenal work that they do.
Thank you, and I want to thank you, Senator Dooley, for raising this issue. It is an issue that is raising its head all over the country. You rightly said, in my own constituency, I have seen it as well. And as part of the broader Sláinte care reform of our health and social care system, the government is committed to reorientating the model of care towards primary and community care. And in furtherance of this objective, in Budget 2021, Minister Butler, my colleague, secured additional funding of £150 million for home support. This is supporting development of a statutory home support scheme, as well as delivery of 5 million additional hours of home support. And the funding secured in Budget 2021 to provide additional 5 million hours has been maintained for 2022, and preliminary data indicates that at the end of April 2022, 6,009 6,902,191 home support hours have been delivered nationally to 54,949 people. Against this background, the Minister is aware that some home support providers require their frontal employees to pay for the travel costs they incur in the course of duty. And again, I want to thank you for raising this issue. And while the HSE pays for the travel expenses incurred by healthcare support assistants, whom they employ to provide home support, providers in the voluntary and private sector do not always do so, nor is there any obligation for them to do so when contracted to provide services on behalf of the state by the HSE. And this is one of the many issues that's been explored by the Cross-Departmental Strategic Workforce Advisory Group. And Minister Butler established this group in March 2022, following a call from submissions from relevant stakeholders such as yourself. The remit of this group is to identify and formulate recommendations to address strategic workforce challenges in the home support and nursing home sectors. And accordingly, the group is examining issues such as the recruitment, retention, training, career development and pay and conditions of frontline carers in these sectors so that solutions can be found. The group's deliberations will be informed by an evidence review of the role, function and supply of home support workers in four European countries, which has been commissioned by the Department of Health from the Health Research Board and which will provide insight into home support workers' employment conditions internationally. Stakeholder engagement is also central to the work of the group as part of a structured programme of consultative engagement with key sectoral stakeholders, and a facilitated workshop was held on the 23rd of May. The group continues to liaise with these stakeholders to further explore the issues arising and will submit a report for my consideration by September 2022. The report will outline the group's findings and recommendations as well as an action plan for the recommendations implementation. And currently, the Department of Health is preparing a general scheme, Heads of Bill, to establish a licensing framework for professional home support providers, secondary legislation, setting out the minimum standards which providers must comply in order to be licensed, and HICWA national quality standards are also being developed. I think this will provide a robust regulatory framework for a sector which is at present unregulated, clarifying home support workers' rights and responsibility. And a public consultation on the draft of minimum standards is currently underway and will close on the 28th of July. But I think what you're talking about is we're looking for a stipend, effectively, for these great workers who are providing an incredible service. And I would think that the sooner that we can come up with some solution, the better, because, you know, across the country, we are all facing this, and it's an issue that we need to address as quickly as possible, because it is saving, you know, it's not just the services providing, but it's saving a lot of extra hours in hospitals and nursing homes, etc. So I would like to come to get this to raise. I think COVID hasn't helped. A lot of people have looked at other opportunities, and we need to make sure that this very, very important work is enhanced and continued.
Minister, and I welcome your response, and I know what the department are trying to do, but I'm somewhat concerned that it's going to get lost in reports and with more bureaucracy. I mean, the state has outsourced this service, and it does so with other facilities as well, with Section 38 and Section 39 agreements. And it is the case that the state then does not put those organisations, and I know Clare Care in County Clare is a particular example, it was never given back the funding that was cut. And there was plenty of carefully worded responses from ministers over the time that said that was a matter for the voluntary body to figure out how they paid people and what they did and what they didn't do. The truth of it is, when the cut came, when the department cut its own staff or the HSE staff, the cuts were imposed on the private sector operators as well. But the money was never properly returned to the same level that it should have been. That's a separate issue that I hope can be addressed in due course, and that's for ongoing dialogue and debate. This, to me, the issue that I'm raising is the cost of travel that has been exaggerated dramatically by the increase in the cost of fuel. It has doubled in cost. And it is so clear and so obvious, the fact that we don't have people to fill these positions. They're just not prepared to do it. They can't afford to do it. And I think it needs an immediate intervention, because if you don't, the reality then is, in the long run, that there are going to be more people on trolleys in A&Es because we won't have the bed capacity to address it.